morning. Good morning.
I'm your huckleberry.
Hey, Big Daddy, how you doing?
Good night.
Yeah, all those things. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, welcome in. It's Thursday, and it is time to rock and roll. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Hello to you, and how do you do, Upstate South Carolina? What up, America? Howdy, world. Great to be with you. Let's get it. Let's have some fun. It's Thursday. It's time to begin looking ahead to the upcoming weekend in collegiate football. It's upcoming weekend in the NFL. And on top of all that, as if the football weekend upcoming isn't quite there for you. We got the MLB playoffs. Turns out, Dodgers pretty good. They hit the ball a lot. 10 hits last night. They took off of Luis Severino and the boys. They got the Mets somewhere out there. Jersey Joe, not doing great this AM. The Mets are up against it now. They're up against it now. 2-1 in favor of the Dodgers, but it's not so much just that the Dodgers are up 2-1. It's that the Dodgers are up 2-1, and they kind of stole all the momo last night. It all belongs to them. At this point, we're going to talk some baseball. We got the WNBA Finals going on last night. The New York Liberty, because Sabrina Ionescu is a stud. Knocking down a banger of a three from about 6 feet behind the arc last night with a second left to go on the clock. Sabrina Ionescu and her New York Liberty now find themselves in charge in the best of five series. That is now 2-1. One more game left to go in Minnesota before they run it back to the Big Apple. And if necessary, put down a game five. We're going to talk about that later in the show because I got to tell you, I don't know if you've seen the drama that's been going on. Apparently Sue Bird had some. Listen, I get where a lot of these WNBA players are coming from. They've been out there. They've been grinding. They've been hustling. They've been trying to grow the game. They've been putting in the effort to grow the game. And a bunch of them are upset because after the Indiana Fever were eliminated from the WNBA playoffs, the ratings, they went down here real quick. The Caitlin Clark effect is real. Okay, it is real. We talked about this earlier in the season, but now we have the entire and total confirmation. She gets bounced from the playoffs. The playoff ratings tank. All right, and there are some women in the NBA, in the WNBA, pardon me, that are real not happy about it. And I get it, but on the flip side, like it turns out, maybe embrace it. Right, like Sue Bird kind of came across as a hater a little bit the other day. We're going to talk about that later in the show because on one hand, like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The league's still good. These women are still out there grinding. This WNBA Finals has been electric so far. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. On the flip side, maybe embrace what doubled your viewership this year. Maybe embrace that. Maybe view that as a positive. Maybe view that as a good thing and not a bad one. Like, I understand that you don't want to sit here and say our entire league revolves around one woman. But I got to tell you, man, like I don't know that I've seen one athlete take as much criticism for something that is completely and entirely outside of their control like Caitlin Clark. So we'll get to that later in the show. The NASCAR playoffs are ongoing. We've barely touched the NASCAR playoffs so far this year, which is disappointing. We had Talladega last weekend. Big fan. Had Talladega last weekend. We had some drama in NASCAR as well. Alex Bowman gets bounced from the playoffs because his car failed tech inspection after the race on Sunday. Now, we got an entirely different lineup of dudes getting set to go drive this weekend to try to make it into the fourth round. We start round three this weekend. 8 dudes left that can go capture a title. We're going to talk about that.
I almost didn't make it upstairs because I almost didn't pass tech inspection. It's brutal at the front door.
It is. And you know, yeah, once they start asking you to like adjust for water weight, you know, they gotta make sure you don't have any unnecessary or illegal equipment shoved up there to change your weight, you know. They gotta, you know, Lonzo, nothing more important. You gotta get that good oil check to make sure everything's in working order in the mornings.
Good thing orange is one of our colors here at Odyssey.
It's interesting. It's been a very interesting NASCAR playoff run so far. So we're going to get to that coming up later on in the show. We have got, what else? We got your ALCS. We haven't even talked about the ALCS. Yankees up on the Guardians.
We also have a ton of guests today, right?
Yeah, we do. It's Thursday. You know what that means. We got a busy day lined up today. Coming up at 8 o'clock, just a little under 2 hours from right now. Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News is going to join us. We will break down the run the Gamecocks made at Alabama. We will talk about the run they hope to make coming up this weekend on the road at Oklahoma, where the wind comes rolling down there. We'll talk to Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock. Then at 8:40, the legendary Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast is going to join the show. We'll talk a little Carolina footy coming up with Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast at 8:40. Then at 9 o'clock on the dot, Hayton Ass Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joins us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We'll take a spin around the world of the NFL, the National Football League. At 9 o'clock with Mario Heron, and we'll see how I'm feeling. We'll see how Mario's feeling. We'll see how Zoe's feeling. Perhaps, perchance, maybe, we sprinkle just the sprinkliest of preseason NBA talk in there as well. Because the next time that we talk to the hating ass one a week from today, Lonzo, the NBA regular season will be underway. It's just about that time, which I don't know, man. There's a lot to be excited about in the NBA this year. A lot. I think the death of the LA Lakers is imminent, and I think LeBron's going to be part of the reason that it dies. We're going to talk about that because I the Lakers have always, it's always kind of felt like whenever a superstar bounces from LA, they just kind of handpick the next heir to the throne, right? It kind of feels like whenever the superstar, the guy, leaves L.A., they just go find the next the guy. From Kobe to Braun. And it kind of rolls off the chronological order there. But what I find interesting about this is, and I do wonder, why. LeBron said, yo, I want my boy Bronny up in here, right? I want my boy Bronny. I want my dude. And they go get him for him. They go get Bronny. And if you have watched any of Bronny's ball games so far, you recognize that at the very best, Bronny is a prospect with a ton of potential ahead of him. At the very best. He's a prospect with a ton of potential ahead of him. At the worst, Bronny's a Nepo baby. Bronny's a Nepo baby. Because the dude, and Zoe, I don't know if you've gotten to see any early Bronny so far, he's not that good yet.
Well, were there expectations that he was going to be? Because I haven't heard any of those. I wasn't expecting that. I expect him to maybe get in some garbage time. Is he going to play valuable time during the regular season? I don't know that he does unless there are injuries.
So, two things. The first part is expectations. If I draft you in the first round of the NBA draft, I expect you to be able to play a little bit.
See,
sorry if my expectations are high. You're a first round draft pick.
NBA draft is weird. It's kind of like the MLB draft, too. I don't expect, unless you are the biggest superstar lately, like from France, you're probably not going to play that much. It seems like the NBA at least when you get a little further down after out of the top five, everybody's developmental.
I don't disagree, but I'll tell you right now. If we went and looked, I, in fact, I may do this later. I didn't think about this till right now. I might go look at guys who were dry. You know what I want to do? I will do this during the course of the show. I'm going to go look at guys drafted where Bronny was drafted over the last, let's say, 10 years. And let's see what their careers stacked up to be, right? Let's take a gander at where he's going to get drafted. The 55th overall pick. Let's just for the bleeps and giggles, give me the last 10 NBA draft picks at number 55. Where's my number sign? There it is. Number 55. It's great radio. Here you go, Lonzo. Here are the last number 55 picks. Kem Birch last year for the Miami Heat. Giddy Potts for the Spurs in 2015. Mike McCall Jr. might be the only cat you guys have heard of on the list.
Okay, I still haven't heard of anybody yet.
Vlatko Kensar to the Nuggets. Rajon Tucker to the Sixers. Jordan Bone to the Detroit Pistons. Cassius Winston to the Wiz. Isaiah Todd to the Wizards. Jaden Ivey to the Pistons. And Kario Okwendo to the Hawks. Are the last 10 picks at number 55 overall from Okwendo going backwards.
Your Honor.
Pick a year, 2014 to 2023. Just any given year.
2019.
In 2019, the 55th overall pick was Jordan, but you would pick that one, was Jordan Bone. Jordan Bad to the Bone. Let's see where here's. Let's see where his. I guess this is a. I guess this is a testament. Yeah, it's fine. I guess this is a testament to Bronny James because here is the professional basketballing career of Jordan Bad to the Bone. Was drafted 55th overall in 2019 by the Detroit Pistons. He stayed there for 1 year. As well as spend time with the Grand Rapids Gold of the G League. He was there for one season before he got sent off to the Orlando Magic. He was with the Magi for one season before he got sent to their G League team, the Delaware Bluecoats. That would be the end of his NBA career. The year after that, he went to, and I wish I could do better than this, he went to a Turkish basketball league to play for a team that I can't pronounce because, and I don't say this with any sense of degradation or xenophobia, it's just true, a basketball team with a name that has a lot of little scribbles on the letters in it, which I don't know, I can't read Turkish, so I got nothing there.
So disappointed. But I think I rest my case.
You know what? I might have to walk it back.
So he is by far the most famous number 55 pick. But if expectations are what they are for number 55, he's right where he needs to be. Actually, he might be better than some of those guys that you mentioned because he might stay in the league a little bit longer, probably because of his name, but still, I mean, that's what... That's why I don't care about the NBA draft.
It's fair. I guess the thing here is going to be that if we look at the 55s, and it's going to sound like I'm trying to twist my argument here, and maybe I am a little, but I also don't think I'm wrong. If we look at Kario Okwendo, Jaden Ivey, Isaiah Todd, Cassius Winston, Jordan Bone, Rajon Tucker, Vlatko Kensar, Mike McCall Jr., Giddy Potts, Kem Birch, that dates back to 2014. 2013, Ray McCollum, Kevin Murphy in 2012, Danilo Gallinari, there's one I actually know. 2011. Darnell Jackson, DeJuan Summers, Sun Yu, Torian Green was 55 overall. Torian Green was a good player.
Yep, no idea who that is.
Portland Trailblazers. Torian Green was a good player. J.R. Giddens, Bracey White, and Mike Hall. Mike Hall was an okay player. That was all the way back to 2004. I think a lot of this has to do with the amount of time, energy, effort, resources the Lakers are putting into Bronny James, that if he wasn't Bronny James, if he was Bronny Smith, If he was Bronny Washington, they wouldn't have.
So you're saying you can tell that they're putting more time and effort and resources into the number 55 player than all those other teams did in their number 55.
I can't in this spot. He's on their preseason roster. Yes. I will go so far as to say I would guess that a solid chunk of these number 55 overall players were not on preseason rosters.
All right. And I hate to keep doing this because I don't know the answer. And who was on their preseason roster last year?
I don't know the Lakers preseason roster from 2023.
I'm just saying it's I think it's easy on the surface to go after Bronny, and if you have those expectations, then you probably don't know basketball, because as far as NBA goes, he's right there with all the number 55s.
Listen, I'm not.
We'll see what happens.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm saying they've got. Here's my concern. If LeBron James Jr. wasn't LeBron James Jr., he's not playing NBA ball this year.
See, I don't know.
Right, I can say that.
Out of all the 55s that you've named, I don't know that he's not. Out of all the picks at number 55 that you named, I don't know that Bronny James is not as good or better than any of those
guys. He's not better than Torian Green, but that's 2007. He's not better today in his rookie year than Gallinari probably was in 2011.
Yeah, but see, that's speculation. You don't know how good Gallinari was then, or if he even played his that year.
Here's my point. Let me try to clarify this. Here's my point. Bronny James is not NBA roster good. He's not NBA roster good. And it's not
and
to say.
And neither were none of those other guys.
And none of them were. That's the point. Yeah. None of these guys were on opening day rosters. I'd be willing to bet if I go through, and I'm not going to because now I've just gotten to the point of lazy. I'd be willing to bet if I go through and I look down this roster, of the let's say, 22 of them dating back to where I looked, or 20 of them dating back to where I looked, I'd bet you no more than one or two. Like, I bet Torian Green was an opening day guy. Outside of that, I bet very few of these guys were on opening day rosters, and LeBronny James Jr. is not an opening day roster player. And that's not to say that he will not be long term. I'm saying the only reason he is because he's bronze kid. And if he's on that roster because he's bronze kid and he stinks, that could be a roster spot. That could be going somewhere else to help this team be better. And if they're not better than they were last year, and LeBron's 41 years old and about to call it a day, because I think he's doing one run with his kid and then he's out. The Lakers might be turning over at this point. I don't know. It's just the whole thing is very interesting to me. Eric says, Rob is right. Bron's only in the league because of his daddy. He sucks. I don't think he sucks. I don't think he's good. But I also think he's a rookie NBA player who not only spent very limited time in college, but on top of that, spent very limited time in college and almost died when he was there, so he missed a solid chunk of the season. I think there is potential in Bronny James. But yes, he's only where he is in the NBA on a starting opening day roster in Los Angeles because of his dad.
Well, a disservice is being done to him because of the scrutiny that you're putting him through, that the listeners are putting him through. Unless he comes out and is amazing, he's a bust. I mean, so imagine that kind of pressure.
I don't agree with that. I think the pressure is if you're going to eat up a roster spot for a team that's on the verge of blowing up, you better be able to help the team, and he's not good enough to help the team.
Should he have told him no? Sorry.
No, I don't want that. No. LeBron, the big one, shouldn't have forced it. Hey, if it ends up, like, you shouldn't have forced that through.
I wasn't in that room, so I don't know that he forced anything. I think it's all speculation. It's fun speculation.
LeBron.
I'm going to speculate that he didn't. There we go.
Nice. Bronny James ain't 55th overall. He's a late second round guy. Late second round guy. If he ain't
neither
Bronny
one,
James
neither one matters in the NBA. I mean, into the first round, into the fourth round is the NBA.
All right, we got to take a break. We're back after this. Rob Brown, Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show's on the radio, talking college football, the NFL weekend ahead of us on the Fan Upstate. You know how, sometimes you get inspired to go get something done. Like, something happens and you're like, you know what? It's time for a life change. It's Tank Top Thursday here on the show. All right. It's Tank Top Thursday. And today, Rob Brown decided to reach into the Wayback Machine. And I went and I pulled out the classic red Chicago Bulls number 23 Michael Jordan jersey from the back of the closet. Because, you know, I dropped enough LBs. I'm like, I can get back into some of the old stuff. And the good news is, I was able to get it on. The bad news is, Robbie B was running a couple behind this AM. All right? Because NGL.
Just a couple.
Just a couple. Because Robbie B, again, not a morning guy. Not a morning guy. Which is ironic for the choice of careers and time slots that I'm in. Not a morning guy. But realized as I was about to run out the door, I'm like, oh, wait, it's Tank Top Thursday. I gotta break out one of the jerseys, all right? So I went and I was like, you know what? I've dropped the LBs. I'm back down in shape. I've gotten rid of like two of the four chins. I could probably get this thing on. I could probably get this on. So I put it on and I didn't think anything about it. I put it on, I took off. And then I got halfway here and I realized though, this is not an XL basketball jersey. It's just a regular L basketball jersey. So I'm a little squeezed in. But I also got in it. And I'm like, yo, if I can make the L jersey hang and not, you know, it's not bad. It's just, you know.
You got, it looks like you got some room on the side.
I mean, there's a touch.
Yeah.
Like it ain't spandex tight. But I gotta tell you, like halfway here, I'm like, you know what, dude, I really only need like 10 more pounds, right? Like I got to my 210, 212 number, right? And I'm not dedicated, wake up every day, I gotta be 210, gotta be like, all right, some days I'm gonna be 215, some days I'm gonna be 207. I think if I can get to like 205, I might, like the jerseys might become just an everyday thing. I'm close.
See, I don't know. You made this a specific day, and I know that I don't adhere, but I don't conform, so there's that. But I also have a hard time buying something, paying more for less, which is what you do with a basketball jersey. You're paying more for less material.
Well, then wouldn't you only wear, like, hoodies and long-sleeve shirts? If that was the case, you would never wear a T-shirt. You'd only wear long sleeves.
Not in the summer.
I mean, yeah, but if you buy a short sleeve T-shirt, you're paying more for less than if you buy a long sleeve T-shirt, right? Or is not? That's not the point, is it?
No,
that's not the point.
The point is that you've declared something, and I don't want to go out and spend money on it. Now, if you want to go buy me one, I'm willing to take it.
I may have spent last
and
night.
When you figure out what you'd have to pay for something my size. And realize, no, I'm not paying that much.
I may have spent a solid chunk of change last night on the website I bought the Rob Brown Show baseball jersey from, designing us like neon pink Miami Vice style basketball jerseys.
By the way, I would wear that.
Hell yeah!
And I would actually pay you for my portion as long as it's in my size.
Oh, it will be. It will be. I need this is about
but
comfort
I don't,
and function.
I don't even want to head out to DXL and say, "Hey, man, I need a basketball jersey." And they look at me and go, "Are you sure?"
I got to get out in the sun
because that's what
too.
They would say. Are you sure you want a basketball jersey? Like, no, I don't want one.
Hey, the NCAA looked at Dan Lanning and went, "Ah, you got one over on us this time, Dano. You got one." Remember, we talked about it a little bit earlier this week. Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks with about 12 seconds left to play on the play clock in their game this past weekend.
Clock is a play clock.
Is what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Ohio State University Horse Chestnuts. Dan Lanning and his Ducks, with just a few seconds left to play, Dan Lanning had a little gamesmanship in him. Dan Lanning trotted out an extra defender after the offense got set. Dan Lanning said, "We're going to sacrifice 5 yards here in order to have an extra defender over the top on what could be a game-making or breaking play." The Ducks ran on the extra defender. Will Howard had less to work with down the field. They did not achieve a first down, but see, the thing was, the play still counted. And they took the clock from 12 seconds down to 6 seconds, meaning that the next snap of the football was the last snap of the football. Will Howard, of course, as we have noted on this show a couple of times, took off running with 6 seconds on the game clock at the beginning of the play. Will Howard had nowhere to go with the football. He ended up sliding, trying to get down and register the timeout, but was out of time. Clock was at zero when he was ruled down by contact. Ohio State loses that game to Oregon. We all come in here on Monday and go, what an absolute masterclass from Dan Lanning. What an abso-freaking-lute, mwah, chef's kiss of strategery and gamesmanship in that spot. No Moss, says the NCAA. They have sent out a memo that says from this point forward, in what will now be called the Dan Lanning rule, at least on this show, if a defense gets called for having 12 men on the field, with an exception, and I'll come to that here in a second, but if a defense gets called for having 12 men on the field inside the last minute of a football contest, the offense, as I'm sure Ryan Day and Will Howard wished would have been the case last Saturday, the offense will have the opportunity, should they elect to use it, to restore the game clock to where it was when the ball was snapped for that play. Meaning that if this rule was in effect last Saturday, the Ohio State Buckeyes' next play could have also had 12 seconds on the clock. Effectively, two free plays. Two plays instead of the one. Yeah, the one they ran.
Yeah. And a chance to kick a field goal. Yeah.
Unless
Will Howard decided, I got 12 seconds and he ran for the entire 12 seconds, which he could have done.
Sure. But that's why. Or he takes the second play snap, 5-yard penalty, and now there's 12 seconds back. He could have done the exact same thing on the next play and called the timeout and kicked the field goal to one, right? And if you add that 5 yards in, because he went down at what, like the 30, somewhere in that ballpark, that could have been the 25-yard line. That's a chip shot. That's an extra point, just about. So the NCAA closes that loophole, meaning a lot of coaches who thought they learned something super smart from Dan Lanning this weekend won't have that ability ahead of them moving
forward. Congrats to Dan Lanning. I mean, not only did you get away with that, but now you got a rule.
Because
of you.
I dig it, man. I dig it. I think it was beautiful from Dan Lanning, but I think on top of that, isn't it impressive that the NCAA, when they want to, and when they are not afraid of, I won't name SEC any particular entities or parties, Big Ten, that the NCAA might be afraid of. I won't name any, like, particular individuals, Tony Petitti, that the NCAA doesn't want to really upset Greg Sankey in their decision-making process.
Speculation.
Everything we do is speculation, Lonzo.
You're trying to lead the witness or something. If this would have happened on a lower level of football, it would have the same effect, and this rule would have been put into place.
Hang on. I'm not arguing the rule is bad or they shouldn't have done it. What I'm arguing here is, isn't it incredible how quickly the NCAA can respond to what is a perceived issue? Isn't it impressive how rapido the NCAA can come out and go, we think this is bad, and so we want to change it, and so this is the new rule, when they don't have to worry about Sankey and Petitti knocking on their door at 2:30 in the morning. The NCAA version of Charlie Baker waking up to a horse's head in his bed with him, right? Like, isn't it impressive when the NCAA wants something done and when the NCAA isn't afraid of the reaction of the commissioners of those two leagues eventually saying, nah, you know what, screw this, we're out. Bleep you guys. We're going home. How quickly something can get done. I know that this isn't quite as comprehensive or big or whatever as, you know, overarching and sweeping changes to NIL or the portal or whatever. But the point is, this happened on Saturday. Yesterday was Wednesday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It took him 3.5 days to change an entire rule of the game. Took him 3.5 days. But we couldn't figure out NIL and transfer portal in 1.5 years. You see what happens when they're not afraid of Sankey and Putiti? That's all I'm saying. That's the only port I got. We wrap up hour number one next. Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock. Rashad Beard at 8:40. We talk Gamecocks and Panthers with them. Hayden Ask Mario at 9. Fight Club at 9:20 to talk some pro wrestling. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. It's the Rob Brown Show. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo with you here on the show this AM. Renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone, 844-326-3663. That is 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. You can text us on the show at 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the air. FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the radio broadcast. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show. You can tweet the great one at Lonzo on Word. And you can tweet all of us at the Fan Upstate. And do not forget about the Ray Memorial Hotline. This game's real easy. What I want you to do is I want you to go over to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Put it on all your digital devices. Go to the Audacy app. Go to the Fan Upstate page. And when you get there, there's a little circular, what? Circular. There's a little round microphone button. I want you to click that little round microphone button, and when you do, you can drop a 60-second voice note.
It's very small, and it doesn't tell you what to do with it, but Rob is telling you what to do with it.
I'm telling you what to do with it. Click the little round microphone button, drop a 60-second voice note, and my favorite thing about this, you can do it anytime, day or shine. Day or shine. What is wrong with me right now? Anytime, day or night, rain or shine. These are all different expressions.
You were trying to rhyme, time and shine. I mean, you know, I get it.
Day or night, rain or shine, the Ray Memorial Hotline is open for you. Go to the Odyssey app, go to the Fan Upstate page, click the little round microphone button, drop that 60-second voice note down there, and we will get them directly on the mainframe here at the mothership.
Even if you want to just say, Rob Brown, bless your heart.
Or, which a lot of people do say that. Or if you wanted to say, oh, I need. Or,
I have
or if
to because you're messing around.
Or if you wanted to say.
Make a mistake. I did. It's still kind of sore.
It's so hilariously sarcastic.
Of course, he's just going to play that one. So, but I also have access. So if I hear, you know, Rob Brown, bless your heart, I'll make sure.
Listen,
I play it.
People dunk on me. I read it when they do. I play it when they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it
so
doesn't
you're
happen
saying
very
I
often.
I couldn't go in there right now and find something where someone said something
correct.
Equal about
correct.
You.
Correct. Okay. Go ahead. You are absolutely welcome to look.
Well, it's okay. The very first one that was left was very positive and go Buckeyes at the end. So
You did catch a go Buck Nuts.
I did.
That is true. All right. So the Ray Memorial Hotline on the Odyssey app. Click the Fan Upstate page. Click the little round microphone button. Drop that 60-second voice note, Odyssey. We had yesterday on the show, we had Denton Day of SiriusXM. He is the college football overtime host on SiriusXM. Big fan of Denton Day. Good dude, good host, good content. We asked him about Clemson at the end of the interview. I said, where do you think this team is? Where do you think this team can go? And Denton did something that I can tell you. I've worked a handful of shows on the BetQL network with Denton Day. That's how we got acquainted with each other. I've worked a handful of shows with Denton Day, and Denton and I are very similar in one particular aspect. Neither one of us particularly loves to lean on the abstract when it comes to breaking down games. And that's not to say that the abstract is not important. It's just that I personally prefer to deal in quantifiable things, right? Like I personally prefer to deal with things that I can boil down to numbers. As many times as Lonzo likes to make fun of that, I like to deal with numbers. I like to deal with things that I can say, oh, look, it's this because, you know, every time that they run this particular play against this particular defense, it comes up with, you know, 6.2 yards per play. And this defense runs that exact set 16.2% of the time and whatever. I'm a dork. What do you want? But Denton Day, when talking about Clemson, I think was kind of diving into the abstract, which I'm not particularly used to out of Denton Day. Denton said the thing that he appreciates about this Clemson Tiger football team, the thing that jumps off the page in him, is that when you look at this team, it never really feels like there's a spot where this team gets down on itself. I asked him about the shift. We did the same thing with John Blau with the Post and Courier on Monday. I said, we have gone from a spot where this offseason, at least around here, was full up of Cade Klubnik jokes. Just filled up with Cade Klubnik jokes. And now Cade Klubnik is being considered by many people potentially worthy of a Heisman invite at the end of the year.
Admittedly, I stopped quite some time ago. I mean, you know, prove it on the field. I mean, I got nothing.
Yep. And I asked Denton, I'm like, what do you think this is? Was the trigger here? We asked John Blau. What do you think was the trigger here? And both of them said a couple of the same things, right? Phil Moffa as a power back. That was one of the things that you just didn't really have with Will Shipley as RB1. You didn't really have that power game. You didn't really have that, this guy is a threat between the tackles and off tackle. You didn't really have that with Will Shipley. He was a good running back. He'd hit the hole hard for sure, but Shipley was a guy that, as talented as he is, he was more shifty than he was powerful. Powerful, sure, but he was more shifty than powerful, meaning that more times than not entirely, but more times than not, Will Shipley was a guy that you didn't really need to dedicate more than just a base defense in order to stop him from having success between the tackles. And if I can dedicate just a base defense to Will Shipley, that opens me up to have an extra defender that I can put elsewhere. And that extra defender was ordinarily used to create havoc for Cade Klubnik. And Cade Klubnik took some time to develop to get to where he was seeing the field, particularly the deep routes, right? In game, what was it, game three of this little run that Clemson's on right now, friend of the show Joey B, P1 Joey B, captain in the Armada Joey B, texts me at I don't know, 10 o'clock at night, whatever time that game was going on, and he goes, the league's in trouble. And I said, why dost thou say so? And Joey B said, because the thing that we've been missing, he's a Clemson guy, because the thing we've been missing for a while was the deep ball, was the ability to go up top, was the ability to make single high safety not enough against us. And now we have it back.
Do you think the league's in trouble? Do you believe that Clemson is back where they were? Do you think that they could go toe-to-toe with Texas? They did lose to Georgia earlier in the year.
So that we're clear. And you know I don't like to try to drop elbows just for the sake of dropping elbows. I think there's a difference between the ACC's in trouble and they can go toe-to-toe with Texas.
He said the league. So
he meant the ACC.
Okay. All right. I'll thank you for clarification.
Yeah, sorry. Should have done that from the beginning. The ACC, I should have said the conference is
in trouble.
By the way,
he's right. As far as that goes.
For sure.
We'll see how they do. I mean, yes, they're playing really well. We'll see how they do when they play
Miami.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's Clemson and Miami.
Well, and
let's
if
not
they
pretend,
continue,
by the way, Miami's been flirting with L's for 3 weeks in a row. Well, they've gotten bailed out.
Even if they do defeat Miami, and I think they could, and probably will, we'll see how they fare in the first, if they win, will they get a bye?
If they win the conference, yeah.
All right, so we'll see how they do in the second round of the playoffs.
Which is likely the destination unless they drop one to Miami in the title game. And by the way, I will go so far.
Unless they were to lose to South Carolina. I mean, laughable to some who are wearing a certain color, but we've seen how South Carolina has played some of the best teams in all of football right now.
I will say, and we talked about the Gamecocks a lot this week. We'll obviously bring them back up coming up at 8 o'clock when Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News joins us. She covers the Gamecocks in Columbia. I will be more invested in that game, I think, if South Carolina does it again this week, if they can string a couple together, right? Because that's, I think, and I guess you can argue that they did between LSU and, or between Kentucky and LSU, string a couple together. A lot of us believe that South Carolina should have beat LSU, that South Carolina got jobbed in that LSU game. But if they can string another one together and they can go out to Norman, Oklahoma and do it on the road, I'll feel a heck of a lot better about that game. But as far as the conference goes, because keep in mind, Clemson theoretically could lose to South Carolina at the end of the year and still find their way into the Atlantic Coast Conference Championship game. Now, the bad news for them is there are four undefeated teams in the conference. There are 3 1-loss teams. Everybody from Clemson at number 10, Miami 6, Pitt 20, SMU 21, all undefeated. And then Syracuse and Virginia are all 2-1 in conference play. So they, if they drop one to South Carolina, but nobody else, they're going to the conference title game. They're in the driver's seat right now to get there. The problem is if you make that run, you're 5-1 in regular play right now. If you make that run, beat South Carolina, but you lose to Miami in the ACC championship game, you would be sitting at 10-2. And I don't know that 10-2 is going to be good enough to get you in out of the ACC this year. Although you do have 4 of the top 25 ranked teams coming out of the conference, I don't know if 10-2 is getting you in. So I will say, I think Clemson is good enough to beat everybody left ahead of them, including Miami, in the ACC title game. And we got Zach in the chat that said, Miami is not losing. Come at me, bro. And I don't think they will lose in the regular season. Zach, what I will say is this. There's a little bit of me, just a little bit of me, but there is a little bit of me that believes Miami's been protected by the stripes a little bit. There's 2 games in a row where Miami has been pushed to the brink by some okay teams in Virginia Tech and in Cal. Like, okay, Virginia Tech. Frankly, not that good, Cal. Remember, Florida State's got 1 win this year. Do you remember who it was against? Cal. They're not very good. And in both of those games, there were relatively controversial calls down the stretch that Miami got the benefit of. And there are a lot of people out there, of which I can't say I am one, but I can't say that I'm not either, believes it's at least possible that Miami is being protected, because do you know how beneficial and profitable, frankly, it would be to the Atlantic Coast Conference for Miami to finally be back? Miami is a school that has a very large fan base, but also a very fickle fan base. It has a fan base that will spend a hell of a lot of money to let you know they are Miami fans, but they're only going to do it when Miami's on top. And they haven't been for a very long time. So I think if Clemson and Miami get after it in the ACC title game, the ACC doesn't benefit more or less from having one of those two teams in the playoffs, right? They don't have a benefit. They're 2 pretty good teams. They're both teams that would have an outside chance looking in. Maybe a good chance if you believe that Cam Ward and Cade Klubnik are indeed both Heisman Trophy finalists. Right now it appears that they are. But I don't know. I don't think Miami gets protected. All that being said, Denton Day and John Blau both said the same thing. The reason that this team is good is twofold. Number one, Dabo got the right guy in the right place. Phil Maffa at the running back spot, when he's healthy and he's good to go, changes the dynamic of the Clemson offense. Number two, Denton Day said, when I said, hey man, I think one of the biggest things here is that I think Dabo finally handed control of the offense to Garrett Riley, which I don't think he did last year. I think he finally said, you know what? You run this thing. I'll step in if we need to, but you run this thing. And number three, he said, as far as team chemistry goes, and I think you saw this after the Clemson-Florida State game when Dabo Swinney surpassed Bobby Bowden as the most winningest coach in conference history. And this is why I've said 100 times, it does not matter what the national view of Dabo Swinney is. The only thing that matters is what the regional view of Dabo Swinney is. This team gives a damn about him. And I think you're starting to see the results of that on the field. So we'll see if the Clemson Tigers are able to continue that run towards the end of the season. We're going to talk more about them as they get set up for Virginia. Former offensive coordinator Tony Elliott over there as the head coach. We'll talk more about that coming up on the show. We got your water cooler cheat sheet up next. All of that following Lonzo, giving you everything you need to know about life, health, wealth during the sports flush.
Yeah, just real quick, Frank, I picked SMU to win the ACC. L.A. Dodgers shut out the New York Mets in Game 3. Still could happen. Of the NLCS, 8-0 last night. Walker Buehler made his first playoff start in years, going 4 innings and giving up only 3 hits and no runs. The Dodgers had 10 hits on the night, including home runs from Enrique Hernandez, Max Muncy, and Shohei Ohtani. Days after Oregon head coach Dan Lanning capitalized on a rule that allowed him to have an extra defender on the field at the cost of only 5 yards, the NCAA has closed that loophole yesterday. The organization announced that if a defense has 12 defenders inside the final 2 minutes, the offense may not elect to reset the clock to where it was when the play began. Make sure you tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. Furman versus Western Carolina right here on your home for Paladins football, the Fan, Upstate.